Hello and welcome to another edition of Indians on Deck. This is Matt Schlichting, and we also have Brian Heminger tonight. Brian, what's up?
What's up is Will Benson's slugging percentage.
Yes. Now, I know we've got some exciting things to talk about today, and by listener suggestion, a new small segment we're going to be introducing to the program. So without any further ado, let's kick things off, as always, with the top 10 guys in the system.
Yeah, Cleveland Indians system, obviously number one on the top 10 for the Indians is Tristan McKenzie. There is no new information, still out with that back injury. And then moving on, we've got Nolan Jones. He had an interesting stat line this past week.
Yeah, it looks 500, 565, 500.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nothing but singles there, right?
Yeah, that is literally 10 for 20 with 10 singles and then two walks and a hit by pitch. So he has got on base every single game this season. Unfortunately, the only issue is just the power hasn't been there. I think he has two extra base hits for the whole season. But he is getting on base for the whole season at a 463 clip. That's crazy.
It makes me wish we had exit velocity for the minor leagues, because it would be really interesting to see if he's just crushing balls that have like an expected batting average of, like, if he's barreling balls that just ends up being outs that we would expect to eventually start landing, in which case his numbers would be completely ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to figure out what's going on with the power, because last year he had 19 home runs. He was getting extra base hits all the time, but that's just not happening yet. So it's interesting, but it's something to keep an eye on as the season progresses, because you know the power is going to come, because you don't hit 19 home runs randomly and then just stop hitting home runs.
Yes. At least, you know, hopefully Jose Ramirez isn't proving to be the exception to that rule. That would be
terrifying.
He had
a good game today. He did have a good game today. He had a very good game today.
Third up is Tyler Freeman, who this past week hit 118, but had a 318 on base percentage and some slug, but not a ton.
It was a very weird week for Tyler Freeman. Okay. Yes, he went like 2 for 17, I think, or yeah, 2 for 17 at the plate. Both hits were extra base hits, a double and a home run, his first of the season. His BABIP for the week was 0.071. So that's unsustainable, obviously. But on the bright side, he got walked three times and had two hit by pitches. So he had five more extra times getting on base. That's why his on base percentage was 200 points higher than his batting average for the week. And he
had
four stolen bases. He's tied for the league lead in the Midwest League with seven stolen bases on the season. And for the season, he's still batting 283, 419, 450. So he's doing great.
Coming into this season, was he a known speedster, or is this something new for him?
He has had speed, but like that wasn't like the top rated thing for him. Like a Quentin Holmes or a Gabriel Mejia, where they're like 80 grade speed and people are like, oh man, this guy's going to steal so many bases. Oscar Mercado is right up there like that, like a base thief. And so Freeman has definitely added a couple things to his game. He's been very successful with the base stealing this season, and he's getting on base with walks and hit by pitches a lot. So hopefully he doesn't get hit by too many.
Right. And speaking of stolen bases, our next guy up is the catcher Bo Naylor, who had a pretty good week preventing the running game.
Well, that was for the season, not for the week, but I mean, if he allowed 13 stolen bases this week, that wouldn't be very good. But for the season, he's got 35%. That's not bad. So that's actually, I think, an improvement on what he was doing last at the Arizona Rookie League. So that's a positive. And he was batting a little bit better this week, 231, 333, 385, with a triple and a couple walks in 15 plate appearances. So he's not playing every day just because he's a catcher, so he gets the occasional day off. It was an improvement, and obviously as the most aggressive placement of pretty much any Indians prospect, you're going to expect a few bumps in the road. He hasn't been doing terribly, but he hasn't been standing out either. But not terrible. So we'll just hopefully he just keeps cruising along and settles in. Although I think today he went 0 for 5. And then George Valera went nothing for nothing because he hasn't played yet. That's somebody to keep an eye on for June.
And then after Valera, we have Bobby Bradley.
Yeah, he went 273 with a 333 on base percentage and a 364 slugging percentage. So it wasn't particularly amazing. He did have a couple doubles and a couple walks. Although today he did knock it out of the park. He had literally a home run and a double, went 3-for-4 to carry Columbus to a victory. So that's not included. So next week, I'm thinking his stat line's going to look pretty good with that factored in. Bradley's actually doing really well. I think his batting average for the season, with today included, so is over 300. Like, it's really nice to see, especially with Hanley Ramirez getting DFA'd. There could be an opening for a slugging first baseman, especially if Jake Bowers continues to, you know, not really get on base or hit the ball very particularly well.
Yeah, there definitely would be room for someone to come up and provide a little bit of extra pop. And I don't know if this is still true after how the Indians have played, but did you see the statistic about how so far this season the Indians' slugging percentage was less than
Michael Martinez's career?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is factoring in, like, Eric Stamets going, like, 1-for-25 with 23 strikeouts, so...
Yeah.
I mean, you got to remember that too. And then, so he's not there anymore. So hopefully it starts to trend upwards with Lindor and Kipnis. And I don't know about Carlos Martinez. Seems like all he can do is hit singles, but with them in the lineup, it should hopefully trend upwards.
And after Bradley, we have Brian Rocchio, who has also not yet started the season, but we're excited to see what he can do once that picks up. And from there, we have our friend Luis Oviedo.
Yeah, Oviedo had a very nice week. If you remember last week, he did not get out of the first inning and gave up 6 runs. It was one of the worst starts I've ever seen by anyone. For one of our top pitching prospects, that was alarming, but bounced right back. He went 6 innings without giving up an earned run. Did have 3 walks, but struck out 5. So he dropped his season ERA back down to a reasonable 3.24. And if you throw out the 6-run, 2/3 of an inning performance, his season ERA is like below 1. So I think he's right back on track. I don't know what happened last week, but it seems hopefully that is just a blip on the radar. But
maybe he's just mimicking some of the Indian starters where he goes out and has one start where everyone panics and then he immediately comes back and it's like, oh no, okay, he's the same guy. It's fine.
Yeah, like a Carrasco or Bieber this past week. So yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And then we have Ethan Hankins, who, again, has not pitched yet this season because he's going to be in short season baseball. And then lastly, the number 10 prospect is Sam Hentges, who, again, not so good.
Do you, and it always feels bad to speculate, but do we have a feel for why he's struggling? Because this week, 3 innings pitched, 6 runs, 4 earned, 4 walks. Ouch.
Yeah. It's been rough. I put out a thing just asking, hey, you know, does anybody know what's been going on with Sam Hentges? You know, he was one of our top pitching prospects, and he has just been awful all season. And we didn't even mention that this week he went 3 innings, gave up 6 runs, 4 earned, 4 walks, and 3 strikeouts. So on the season, his ERA is 8.62, and his WHIP, which was like 2.18, it actually got worse, and now it's 2.3. Man, I really don't know what's wrong with him. I mean, he's historically had some control issues. I think he was walking 4 per 9 heading into this season, and you know that was why I didn't have him in my top 10. Everybody else was like throwing him up there just because he's a big, tall lefty with a good curveball and decent velocity. But I was like, you know, those walks are a problem, and they are definitely one of the biggest things. I mean, he is not keeping runners off the base paths because he's all over the place with his command. But I don't know. I don't think it's an injury because he'd be on the injured list. But I think so far his best start this season was 5 innings with 3 runs, and that's not even particularly good. So,
no. Did he have an aggressive placement?
No, he was. He spent all of last season at High A Lynchburg. I mean, this is his first taste of Double A, but I mean, he had a strong season last year at High A Lynchburg. that's the regular schedule, is you just bump up one level after you perform well at the level below you. Granted, you know, double A is supposed to be the most difficult transition for players, but I've never seen someone struggle like this from high A to
double A. It is pretty odd.
So, yeah, I mean, I hope he can turn it around, because, I mean, he is an exciting left-handed pitching prospect, but, man, he is not doing himself any favors on the prospect rankings. I mean, at this point, when they update the midseason rankings, I mean, he could drop 10 spots or more, like for the top 30 for MLB Pipeline or something.
Well, outside of our top 10, we like to feature five guys from the rest of the system who had particularly awesome
weeks. And they can include top 10 guys, I mean, if they had a great week.
Yeah, it's the best performances overall from the system. Sorry. But we have someone repeating from last week, leading things off, which is Oscar Mercado.
Yeah, Mercado was an animal this week. He batted 545 with five doubles, a triple, a home run, three walks, and four stolen bases. He's currently on a 10-game hitting streak. His slugging percentage for the week was 1,600 on base percentage. I mean, those even numbers, I mean, they probably make you drool a little bit, Matt, right?
Yes.
And I have to say, at this point, Mercado seems ready. I mean, the Indians right now at the major league level, they have four left-handed outfielders for some stupid reason, with Cargo, Bowers, Naquin, and Leonis Martin, and one switch-hitting outfielder that barely plays in Greg Allen. They sent down Jordan Luplow after 18 plate appearances, who was a right-handed bat, and Luplow's actually playing pretty well right now at AAA, but Mercado has been consistent. He has been on fire all season. I think he's batting 361 at AAA right now with a 574 slugging percentage, 458 on base percentage. Let's get him, give him his shot. I mean, he was amazing in spring training. People were saying he should have made the team out of spring training, and then now he's destroying it at AAA. So,
yeah, it would be one thing if he was clearly being blocked by
there's
anybody,
no right-handed bat in the outfield right now. So, I mean, worst case scenario, you could even platoon him at center field with Leonis Martin. I mean, Martin is having a very good season, but he doesn't hit lefties well. And Mercado's a right-handed bat.
Right.
So, I mean, Mercado should be playing against every left-handed pitcher we face and potentially should be playing every day at the major league level. I mean, he's repeating at AAA, so it's not like this is a small sample size. He seems ready to go. So let's see. I really think he should be, I would be surprised if he can keep, if he keeps this up, if he's not on the big league club within a month.
Our next performer is Kyle Nelson, who had a delightful week and has been fantastic overall this season as well.
You know, this is a guy that's been under the radar. I mean, everybody's talking about James Karinchak because Karinchak is hasn't given up a hit all season, and he was striking out people. I think at one point he'd struck out 17 of the 18 outs that he so he's coming down to earth a little bit, Karinchak has. He still hasn't given up a hit all season, still hasn't given up a run. But his strikeout rate dipped, I think, from 26 per nine innings to, I think, about 20. So, yeah, what a bum.
Shameful.
But Nelson was great this past week. Yeah, four innings pitched, no walks, three hits, seven strikeouts, ERA still zero on the season, no walks on the season. And last year, he was actually the top reliever whip, and I think top overall pitcher for full season baseball in minor leagues with a crazy whip below one for the whole season. So this is definitely a pitching prospect to keep an eye on, left-handed also. So seems like the Indians found a diamond in the rough. I think he was like a 15th or 16th round draft pick two seasons ago.
Are the Indians developing relievers now?
They really are. I mean, with Robert Broom, Nick Sandlin, Kyle Nelson, James Karinchak, there are quite a few relievers that the Indians actually drafted that are doing very well and should be moving through the system quickly because they're just overmatching people right now at double A and lower.
Yeah, I think it was towards the end of last season we were trying to figure out like who the last real guy drafted as a reliever that came up through the Indian system was that had success. And I think it like we landed on Cody Allen as the last guy we could think of that
sustained success. Yes. I mean, because Kyle Crockett came up like the same rate as Cody Allen did, but he didn't stick around. But yeah, Cody was there for a while and did well. And he was like a late round draft pick as well. But yeah, it seems like the Indians have multiple guys that I think could be helping out that bullpen as the season progresses, especially if the bullpen continues to just be average. I mean, it's not like the bullpen's doing terrible. They had one terrible game, but I mean, they're just not going in there and just blowing guys away. Like they're going in there and, you know, just eh. So I would like to see some guys come in there and just make hitters look silly, like Andrew Miller used to do.
Oh, yeah, I know. So much fun.
It was a fun half year that cost us two of our best prospects.
Moving on, Will Benson is next.
He did okay. He was all right. If you guys didn't hear earlier last week, Will Benson hit four home runs in one game. It didn't matter if he didn't get a hit the rest of the week. He would have been on this list, but he did. He actually is on a hitting streak. So he went 9-for-16 this past week with two doubles, four home runs, three walks, and four stolen bases. So this is what I really love about Will Benson. Showing off the five tools now is, you know, the speed with the power, which is just crazy. I mean, this guy is like 6'5" and big and somehow is able to be that quick. He is tied for the league lead in the Midwest League in stolen bases with Tyler Freeman. For this past week, his slugging percentage was 1,438. I looked. Guess what his WRC plus was?
Ooh, well, I was just doing the math in my head. His OPS would have been like 1.99. Yeah, his OPS was something almost
basically 2,000. But guess what his WRC plus?
WRC plus.
Just throw it out there.
God,
4.53. So yeah, Will Benson had himself a week. And then probably the funniest statistic I've ever seen in my life. He went 9-for-16 in his at-bats, and all seven of his outs were strikeouts. So his BABIP was 1,000. I've never seen that before, but for the whole week, every time his bat made contact with the baseball, it either left the park or found grass. So, I mean, that's hilarious. And then it doesn't even count today where he went 1-for-3 with a walk and two more strikeouts. So, I mean, literally, he is the two true outcomes player. I mean, touch the ball, it's a hit. So, I mean, it's hilarious. I mean, I've never seen a more three true outcome of walk, get a hit, or a strikeout. I mean, it's not home run. I'm literally just... All he has to do is just stick his bat out there and he's going to be on base.
I hope it would just be fun to see that streak continue for another.
It's 8 days so far of 1,000
BABIP, but
literally cannot pop up or ground out or fly out or anything. Like that's just what it's been for Will Benson. So I'm so happy for him because people were writing him off after last year when I was noticing that his walk rate increased, his strikeout rate actually went down. And his home runs went through the roof. He led the Midwest League in home runs last year. And so I was like, all his numbers are great. It's just his BABIP was terrible last year. His batting average was awful. I mean, if he just gets a little luckier, then, you know, he's going to look really good. And he's repeating at that level. And right now, I mean, he is literally leading the Midwest League in almost every single offensive category that exists.
Beyonce, Ariana Grande, and Drake are talked about ad nauseum as celebrities, but there's one thing that's rarely discussed, their music.
On Switched on Pop, we go deep into the sounds of pop music to explain what it means, how it's made, and why it's so effective.
We talk with some of today's greatest artists, producers, and journalists to decode the musical logic behind our modern soundtrack and understand its role in our culture.
Switched on Pop will reveal for you how a secretive Swedish producer is behind many of the top 10 hits of the past 20 years.
And we'll uncover the ways that songwriters embed their political activism into today's most popular tracks.
We'll show you the surprising musical similarities between Cardi B and Taylor Swift.
And we'll even dive into the classical past to hear how the Jonas Brothers mirror Mozart's youthful party days.
I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
Join us on a journey through the world of popular music by subscribing to Switched on Pop on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app to get new episodes every Tuesday.
So
good for him.
He's on fire. So I think it's only a matter of time until he's given his promotion to high A to join his buddy Nolan Jones.
Speaking of Nolan Jones, he was the fourth guy on the list. We already talked about him a little bit since he's the number two prospect in the
500
system
on the week. So,
our final person is Matt Salter, who I know nothing about. So you'll have to
it's
help
rightfully
me out here.
So that you know nothing about Matt Salter. Because he's not somebody the Indians drafted. He was a guy that the Indians signed out of free agent baseball. He did not even play at the minor league level last year. I think he was in some sort of independent baseball league. The Indians signed him because they needed a starter. And he has been absolutely filthy. In his first start, he went four innings of shutout ball with four strikeouts, which was okay. Then his next start, which is factored into this week, he went five innings, no walks, one run, 10 strikeouts. And then today he pitched seven shutout innings and gave Akron a chance to walk it off in the ninth inning with four strikeouts. So this past week he went 12 innings, one run, five hits, 14 strikeouts. And he's 25 years old. His numbers weren't terrible in his brief time in, I believe, I'm not even sure what system he was in before back in 2017. He was on the San Jose Giants. So I think he was in the Giants system, but they just gave up on him. And the Indians were like, hey, you know, there's something we like and let's give this guy a shot. I mean, I don't think he's going to get extended opportunities because he's making the best of it. So good for Matt Salter. He had himself a week with two amazing starts.
I had to look it up here. He was with the St. Paul Saints of the American Association last season. Teammates with Let's Go Former Tribe Zach Walters.
Wow. Does it say anything about his statistics or is that just there's no way they keep that kind of information?
They do on Baseball Reference. Oh. So last year for the St. Paul Saints, Salter had a 4.73 ERA in 80 innings pitched, 56 strikeouts, 31 walks, a whip of 1.475.
Well, I don't know what he
did. But maybe he's figured something
out.
Maybe
he spent the offseason with Trevor Bauer or something.
That'd be interesting if he was a driveline guy.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. But hey, good for him. He had himself a week. So I hope he keeps it up. So that's our top five for the week. And next up, I'm going to be updating everyone on the injuries and promotions that followed. So there were a lot of injuries this week, unfortunately. Well, we might as well get right to them. At the AAA level, Yu Chang went on the disabled list. I'm not sure what with. It didn't say. But he's on the 7-day IL. At AA, this one really sucks. Andrew Monasterio, who has been one of the biggest surprises, he was placed on the disabled list. So was Ernie Clement. So that's two of the starting infielders at AA were placed on the disabled list. And then Rob Kaminsky also joined them. Shocker. but this time it wasn't anything bad. It seems like it's just a blister. So hopefully that won't be long term. And then at the A-plus level, this one really sucks. I would say this is one of the top prospects to go on the list, and that is Jean Carlos Mejia.
An
ab strain. I don't know how serious it is, but that's what I saw when he was announced as on the list. So hopefully he can recover from that quickly because he's been having a very good season, and I would like to see more of him. And then lastly, Marcos Gonzalez, the former top international signing by the Indians, I think back in 16, he was placed on the disabled list with a right hamstring strain. He had been starting at third base for the Lake County Captains. So with those guys being injured, that opened up multiple promotion opportunities and some players that had been in extended spring training to be activated for the season. So at AAA, Mike Poppy was activated. So he's back. He's a former Indians first round pick, and he's been at AAA for about the last 2.5 seasons. And then Tyler Clippard, who was honestly going to be making the Indians team out of spring training, or a veteran reliever, but he had an oblique injury. So he was in extended spring training, and then the Indians activated him. So he's currently in Columbus, and he's been doing pretty well. So I expect that he'll be on the big league club pretty soon.
Yeah, his time in Columbus right now almost amounts to just rehab time.
At AA, Nick Sandlin was activated. We mentioned him briefly. He was the second round pick by the Indians last year, advanced all the way to AA as a filthy sidearm reliever. So far, 2 innings pitched, 3 or 4 strikeouts, no runs. I don't think any walks. He did give up a couple hits, but good start for Nick Sandlin. Now that he's back, and I'm very excited for him. I think a definite opportunity for him to be on the big league club at some point this year. And then Tyler Freese. This is not a guy that we've been talking about much. He has had himself a season so far. He is a guy that's been very under the radar. He was a 2017 21st round draft pick. So obviously people aren't going to know him from the prospect rankings or anything. And they shouldn't, because last year, or in 2017, he only batted .221 in 33 games with Mahoning Valley. And then last year, he spent the whole season, or most of the whole season, at between Lynchburg and Lake County, where he batted .242 and only slugged .344. So it's not like he was doing a whole lot. But one thing that was interesting was he walked 39 times last year and struck out 35. So that was the one, yeah. So this year, though, at Lynchburg, he was one of the best hitters on the team. He had a .291, .409, .418 slash, 7 doubles. He was, I think, one of the league leaders in the Carolina League with 7 doubles. And he struck out 12 times, walked 11. So, I mean, keeping that ratio right there. And he got promoted to AA, and in his AA debut today, he went 2 for 2 with a double and a walk. Good for Tyler Freese. Like, I hope that he can be like a surprising breakout type of guy. And it's possible. I mean, if you're walking more than you're striking out, that's there's always going to be potentially an opportunity for you.
And then at high A, is it Wilbys Santiago? What's his story?
Yeah, Wilbys Santiago is a Dominican League prospect. He's an infielder, and he was actually originally promoted to activated from extended spring training to Lake County. And then when Freese got promoted, he got bumped up as well. So it's not like Santiago's been this incredible force all season and deserved a super promotion. It's more, I think, that the Indians view him as a depth guy, but he is still playing well. So, good for him. I hope he keeps hitting. And then Connor Smith was activated to take Santiago's place when Santiago got bumped up to follow Free. So there was just kind of that elevator thing where, they've got to keep making moves when they bring up somebody else. I think he was a round 30 pick last year.
Ooh.
And he did okay at the Arizona Rookie League, batted .292 with a home run, 17 RBIs. But did not play particularly well at Mahoning Valley or Lake County in his time there. But he'll have an opportunity at Lake County right now with the injuries. And today, I think he walked twice in his 4 plate appearances. So he has a 0.500, a Roberto Perez-esque batting line. So this will bring us to our final thing, which is we didn't have any questions because, Matt was a little under the weather today, and I don't think I have access to Let's Go Tribe Twitter, and I forgot to ask Matt Lyons about it. But we did get an email this week, and it is a really interesting idea, so I will share this with you. This is from Andrew Kinsman. He actually was the prospect writer before I took over the job over at Let's Go Tribe, and he'll still be commenting in a lot of the prospect-related posts. Here's what he had to say. I'm really enjoying your podcast series with Matt Schlichting. Last week, you guys were talking about shuffling the top 10 to feature some different players, but I have a suggestion to make. How about you keep that top 10 as they are until MLB Pipeline makes changes, and then just add your own selections to follow for the next month? You and Matt could pick, say, one hitter and one pitcher that you want to follow over the next month. Every week, you talk a little bit about how your selections have fared, and in the last podcast of the month, you get the choice of sticking with your current selections or replacing them with new ones for the following month. Just an idea. Best regards, Andrew Kinsman.
And it's an idea we're taking because it's awesome.
It's an awesome idea. So, Matt.
Also, very good timing since we're here at the end of the month and our next podcast next Wednesday is going to be the first one of April. So,
of May.
For my inaugural picks, I'm going to take Will Benson and see if he can keep doing his ridiculous things. And then Kyle Nelson.
Excellent choices. And then I'm going to grab Oscar Mercado and Raymond Burgos, a left-handed starting pitching prospect at the Lake County level right now that is returning from Tommy John surgery. So very excited about him, and we'll give you guys all plenty of updates on them as we follow along with this new segment. We'll have to come up with a name for it, but it should be a lot of fun. So thank you guys.
Hopefully we don't end up like the podcast where eventually there's like 18 different segments that all have their own theme songs. But this is one that I really like and it deserves a good name. If not a theme song, probably not. But I'm looking forward to following through on it.
Yeah. And we'll take suggestions on names if anybody reads this and wants to send us anything on Twitter or email.
All right. Well, that's all that I have for this week, Brian. Anything you want to sign off with?
No, I think we touched all bases pretty much.
Awesome. Well, thank you everyone for listening. We will touch base with you again next week.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form
the Shutdown Fullcast.
Voltron!
I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
bears and video games,
Pittsburgh Batman,
the hell of being trapped in a group text,
unreliable legal advice.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts, or coaches making terrible decisions, or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Like the time Arkansas decided to use a captured feral hog as a mascot, and it escaped, and it wound up killing 7 rattlesnakes, a pig, and a coyote.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.
Unless it is.
Damn it, Ryan.